I'd like you to turn, if you would, to in your Bible, to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. We were saying in the service, or in the prayer time just before the service, that you know that the Bible is the Bible, is the Word of God, because no one else would put stories in it like that if you were trying to prove it. You know, it's just an amazing book. And this is Zechariah. I'm only taking one verse. That's a famous verse, but I think it'll make its point. There's all kinds of visions of flying scrolls and a woman in a basket and all kinds of things that the Spirit is doing and the Lord is doing, measuring rods and visions from high priests. There's all kinds of things. And when we come to it, I'm just going to take one verse. Let me just break in at verse 6. I said, "No, my Lord," and he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." This is the word. "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." What a great verse that is. "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit." I call this the Holy Spirit, his personality, his presence, and his power. It's not in your notes, but I'm often thought when Paul talked to the Galatians and what had happened is they had drifted. And he says, "How is it that you started in the Spirit, but you ended in the flesh?" I think that makes a point, though, isn't it? We all start in the Spirit. We're born again of the Spirit. We are made baptized in the Spirit. And Paul is saying, where you started, don't stop. Carry on in the things of the Spirit. And I know that it's so easy, so scary easy to get dusty. I know about that. To get rusty. I try to make as many words I could think of. To get musty. To get crusty. None of it good. It's easy to get that way. The crazy thing is that you don't even know that that's happening to you. You don't even know that you're drifting. You don't know that it's not vibrant anymore. You go, the thing that we can do so easily, we go through the motions. We do church. We know. I've learned Christianese for years and years, taking advanced courses on it. And where I know exactly what the response is, just tell me what church you're from and I'll tell you what the response is. And everybody's nodding because we know that's true. It wasn't intended to be that way. And so whenever that happens, there must be an announcement. Say, listen, let's press in. Let's draw near to the Lord in the power of the Spirit. You see, when the Holy Spirit is allowed to move among us, there's the key, isn't it? Allow it to move among us. If we allow him to move among us, so much happens. I know that you can have a lot in your head. Oh, my, sometimes I have so much in my head, it scares me. Theories, thoughts, things I've read. And as I get into that thing, I find out after a while there's so much in my head and so little in my heart that you can learn lots. You can read lots. You can be affected by people's opinions and yet not have a vibrant, on-fire experience with the Lord Jesus himself where we are filled by his power and his might. That's what God wants, and to keep it going. So his plan for me is to be effervescent for my whole life, filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. That's his plan. That's not some unusual thing where we say, well, I tell you, God really moved this morning, as if that was some rare thing that we're so surprised that something that God actually moved. It's not what he had in mind. He wants this renewal to be perpetual. And I believe it with all of my heart that it's quite possible for you to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit for all the days of your life until you feel his arms around you. We don't have to say, oh, I don't know, but it's just that the renewing Holy Spirit is always pushing us and prodding us and moving us and encouraging us to embrace all that he's doing. Now, you can do it you can do a lot of things in the flesh. You can build entire ministries in the flesh. You can do a lot of stuff, and it looks like it's the real thing But often it's just some religious thing. It's just very simple to somehow get caught up on a certain thing. So not by power or not by by our own weakness or our own strength, none of that. It must be by the Spirit. I can't just stir myself up. I must say, Holy Spirit, stir me. Lord, quicken me. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Get up in the morning and say, Lord, quicken me today. I feel sluggish. I feel a bit out of it. I don't feel very close to the Lord. Father, and as you read his word, Lord, stir my heart as I read this so I don't go through the motions. You know, your whole life you can go through it, and by the end of your life, you can be just as dry as dust. And you can be religious, and you know, and if you're Pentecostal, you know what that's like, and so you can kind of imitate that and be happy with some level of renewal, but not really to be renewed. I think that whenever that happens, there's a certain time where we should kind of be scared, kind of be concerned. Because you know what a fanatic is. Fanatic is someone who loves Jesus more than you. And so when that happens, a fanatic, say, oh, he's a fanatic. It may be that he just loves Jesus more than you, or she loves Jesus more than you. Could be, I'm not sure. But so much in our head, so little in our heart. So when the Holy Spirit is allowed to move among us and encouraged to move among us, when we say, Lord, we're really dry. This has been, you know, that episode, that season has been, you know, for whatever reason, kind of taxing. And I know, by the way, one of the worst times for a church is after Christmas. That first time after Christmas, because we've been at things, we've been at banquets, we've been at gatherings, we've been at concerts, we've been at, you know, all kinds of things, right, haven't we? And we'll do it again this year. That's a dangerous point. Another dangerous time is when a church goes into a building program. And we're not having to do that, but had we been doing that, I think about 80% of pastors resign after the building has been completed because it took so much out of the life of the church, you know, raising that money, getting that thing going, getting people on board, getting everybody excited. Well, you know, if you've been around where they've been building a church. And so it's a dangerous time, a high volatile time where you kind of lose the Gillette edge and you're kind of, you don't even, I know people that even didn't quit the church after, saw that it was built and then quit the church. I thought, how weird is that? Why didn't you quit before they got into that program? But for whatever reason, that's what happens. And so there's dangerous times. And I think even now going into Christmas, that we must ask the Lord to really freshen us and quicken us, or otherwise we'll do our Christmas thing, and then we'll be glad when it's over. And I thought, I don't know if that's the best way. But just to recognize it, that there are points and times where we say, Lord, don't let me get out of it. I don't want to just be out of it. I want to be full of you. All of the days of my life. And so when this Holy Spirit is allowed to move in my heart and your heart, there's always, because of that, there's always new depths. You can go deeper. And I'm not talking about anything fanatical. I'm just saying you can go deeper. I think that there are always new depths. Surely you don't think that you have plumbed this thing, do you? Do I think I've plumbed this, that this is... I remember one time, I think I've said this with you probably various times, when I felt the Lord saying, do you want to go further than you've ever been before? I think just a few weeks ago I mentioned that. And you say, yeah, well, I don't know. And you kind of say, well, here I am, I'm born again, I'm baptized in the Spirit, I'm baptized in water in Jesus' name. I mean, got all the right things. And the Lord said, no, that's just beginning stuff. That's not the end of the journey, surely. That's the starting point, right? As soon as we meet somebody who's new in, who comes to know Christ, we lead to make sure, give them assurance of salvation, make sure they're filled with the Holy Spirit, make sure they're baptized in water, and that's not deeper stuff. I've often heard it called the deeper life. That's not deeper life. That's beginning life. That's when it starts. All those things. From that point on, that's where we must allow and yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit so that these new depths in our lives and new depths in our meetings. And I think of even the last few months, I've sensed there's a kind of a really good buzz going on in here. I think it's in the Greek, but we'll look up buzz. And I'm not sure where that is, but I think I know what it is when I see it and I feel it and I sense it. So I think this is a good season. Now, we can't coast on that, right? We can't just say, well, no, we say, oh, Holy Spirit, today and the next day and the next day, Lord, just stir my heart. I want to be bubbling for you. And not just out of my personality, but out of the depths of my heart, that I would be on fire. I'd be on fire for the Lord. And not trying to make it happen, not trying to, you know, do something crazy that to draw attention to myself, but just to say, Lord, don't let me camp here. Don't let stop right there, right? Onward, upward, forward. That's the direction. Forward in our lives and forward in our meetings. And so I think when that happens, when we say, breathe Holy Spirit on me, I think what happens is that there comes a new seriousness of purpose where we're clear in our minds where we want to go. And if the Lord would be gracious to take us to those better places, those higher realms, I think that pleases him and honors him that we're not content. You know, dangerous, again, one other danger point is that we can become content. I can become content, and I'm easily bored. I am so easily bored, it is terrible. I finish people's sentences. Is there anybody ruder than that? Finish their sentence. How could you just finish somebody's sentence? Because they were telling me too slowly. So I said, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Oh, man. And then I realized that I need some serious help here. As a church, we can get bored. Bored with the preaching, bored with the singing, bored with the worship, bored with the routine. And that's not always bad. That's probably a good thing, but only if you allow the Lord to freshen you, freshen me. And then to trust him that won't just be a little revival moment, a little renewal moment, but that would be how we live. That would be how we live. You know, that the services are alive, the preaching is alive, all these things are just, they're not unusual. We just say, we just anticipate that. Instead of some, whoa, it's just life in the Spirit for us. And what a joy when you think about that, what that means. This new seriousness of purpose. That we say, yes, we get it. We get it. And many of those songs, such good songs. Sorry, just so good. And especially all about Jesus. Right? Isn't that that's the ultimate where we can go on this. So, life in the Holy Spirit, it's a blessing that everybody should claim. Claim it this morning, in fact. Claim it this morning. Just claim, Lord, life in your Spirit, that's what I want for me. Life in your Spirit. And so when Paul writes about all those things, he said, keep in step with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. So good. But so the writer says, not by power, but by the Spirit of God, says the Lord of hosts. So we would say, Lord, do that. Because you ask yourself a question, why is it that church is experiencing some things that you say, wonder why we're not experiencing? Now, I know there's a season. I know there's a time. Isn't there? There's a time. There's a time. But I think many times it's our time. And we might miss it. We might miss the visitation that the Lord has for us. And so we say, Lord, we just want to be sensitive. And I think that's where prayer comes, that we're praying. And we're asking the Lord to take us on the journey that he has for us. Maybe not for everybody else, but we kind of get it. We say, this is the journey where we're on. This is a little bit of what it looks like. But for us, it's normal living. Normal living in the Spirit, trusting the Lord, lifting up Jesus, and following hard after Christ. So we press in. No, sensing the hour is late. Is it not? When you follow the news, pick up your newspaper, I thought, I sense there's things happening that we need to be very interested in. And lift up your eyes, Jesus, for your redemption draws nigh. And for us, it does. We live in the shadow of the coming of Jesus coming to this earth. And we sense, could it be today? Well, we don't know. I remember in 1968, I was encouraged by others not to go to Bible college because I wouldn't need all that anyway. Right? That guy, I wonder where he is now. What's he doing? You know, so all I'm saying is, though, that we didn't quite get that right. We thought that Mr. Kissinger was probably to blame for most of that. And Jackie Onassis on that yacht. You know, you remember how many were alive in the 60s? All right. You know what that's like. But thank the Lord for late, great planet Earth. That kept us all going for the longest time, and automatically setting dates and things. Boy, how crazy. And we all had egg on our face as a result of it, too. That was even funnier. But I digress, and I'm boring some of you, so you were born after that. So we'll just carry on with this. So it's a blessing we should all claim. And I made a little statement just from as an agony of heart. Oh, to be a spirit-filled man. Oh, to be a spirit-filled woman. Is anything finer than that? Somebody just full of the Lord and full of the power and might of God, just but yet so ordinary. Just an ordinary person who said, Lord, I want you to fill me. I want you to baptize me in your spirit. I want you to overflow me. I don't want to go right up till you come, Lord. I want to keep that candle burning so bright that it never goes out from now till Christ comes. Now, some say that's a bit grandiose. Well, I don't think so. I think that's normative. I don't think that's unusual. And if it is, it even makes the point more. Say, well, that was really revolutionary. That was revolutionary. That's just what the Spirit wants. And we keep in step. He says, keep in step with the Spirit. And I thought, yeah, that's a wonderful journey. And you know, I think back. I remember different times when I was younger. I remember that glorious time. You know, when I saw a picture of me, I saw a picture of me here. I was a lot taller, I thought, in the picture, but but certainly I had brown hair. Look what they've done to my hair. Right? Yeah, who knew? Who knew? But I way back before then, in the 60s, I had different people. You know how you're a young person. As soon as you're a young person, if you come and kneel at any altar, somebody's going to come and pray for you real quick. They'll say, oh, there's a young person down there. Go down to pray for him. Keep that in mind. But it's good. But so I'd have, over the years, I'd have somebody, they say, you'd like to come and just wait on the Lord and just prepare our hearts for whatever he wants. And so there'd be a bunch of us, 20, 30 people in some gatherings. And sure enough, somebody would come and pray. And I can remember godly men laying hands on me, praying that I would be in the center of what God wants for my life. And they were praying that I would be filled with the Spirit. And I think of that, I look back, that went on for years and years. I hope that that's true of our young people. They say, there's people who pray for us, lay hands on us, minister to us, that we would pray that we'd just together walk firmly after the Lord. And you don't have to have just old guys from the 60s, but just so I make the point that that's what they would do. I can still remember some voices. I can still hear their voice and how they prayed as they prayed for me. And that for the things that I was to enter into, that there was a calling on my life, that somehow they sent something. And so to this day, I'm pursuing, as you are yours, I'm pursuing that which the Lord has. I don't want to miss one single thing that God is up to. Right? Whatever you're doing, Lord, don't do it without me. Whatever you're doing, don't do it without me. I just want to be dead center, yield, just an ordinary person, hanging out at Starbucks, doing stuff with Marcel and the staff, and just serving hard after, but touched. Tim knows what I'm talking about, because his family will make sure that they lay hands on him. But it's right, isn't it, Tim, that even for the youth, especially for the youth, if they receive a touch from the Lord, that it'll keep them, they may still veer. You know, young people, I remember how we were. You veer off here a little bit, but because you've been touched by the Spirit, you never quite get past that, and you end up back again, only this time a little older, and doing God's will. Took a little detour, but I believe that the Spirit of God, in many, many, many meetings in people's lives, that they never forgot that anointing. They never forgot that. And they came back to that, and it just kind of gave them a bit of reality. It wasn't just Bible reading it was wonderful sense of Christ touching your life. So, oh, to be a Spirit-filled person. And so I know this, though, that the work of man and the work of God in church affairs, what a contrast. What a contrast. I'll read that again. The work of man and the work of God in church affairs. In other words, man can only do a certain amount, right? The rest has to be the Lord. The Lord doing something. The Lord touching somebody. And when that happens, you say, well, what a difference. In other words, we can say, let's strike a committee. You know, okay, not such a bad idea, perhaps. Let's strike a committee. Let's get this organized. Let's do this and let's do that. And you might say, not by might, but by thy spirit. Did we do that in our own energy? Did we stir up our own flesh so somehow we could accomplish things? And again, it's not so wrong to accomplish. It's just that where did the power source come from? Did it come because we were waiting on the Lord for his direction and waiting from the Lord for souls to be saved? And if that be true, then that's quite fine. But if it's of our own generation, we're just cranking it out, it can be done. That's the scary part about it. You can do so much in your own strength, especially if you have grade A flesh. Now, you know there's three kinds of flesh, right? There is regular flesh. There is grade A flesh, and there's loser flesh. And some people have loser flesh, and they receive the most from the Lord because they know they're already hooped already. And they say, well, it's no sense me getting excited about this. So I'm going to be behind the door when the good stuff's given out. So the grade A flesh person, he's great to have. She's great to have in the church. And I can sure, I'm looking at Mel and she's smiling, but I can imagine for Mel when she meets some, a willing person. Right, somebody willing to work. That's good. And so that person can get conscripted into the work of the Lord and get involved in stuff. Now, that's not wrong. It's maybe even good. But what can happen is that people come and they're very clever. They're very good at what they do. They're very talented. Sometimes they can play. Sometimes they can speak. Sometimes they can teach. Sometimes they can share. They can do all kinds of things. They can do all kinds of things. And they're so amazing that it make the rest of us three talent people just amazed how that can be, how they could be so multi-talented. But therein lies the problem. That creates the same problem again, is that was this by the Spirit of God or was it strictly our own engineering? And I have seen what we can produce. We can produce things, but it's not really what we want. We want to be able to say, we looked to the Lord, we sought his face with all of our sincerity that we could, And as a result of that, we leave the results with Christ. Leave them results with him to see what he wants to do and how this is his church, this is his place, right? And so, Lord, you just lead us then on the right journey. It may take a little longer, but I believe we won't miss it because we were sensitive to the Spirit of God. Now, I say all that because whenever the Spirit moves, there are ways to tell whether it's of the Lord or whether it's just something fleshly. And so let me just give a few. I call these biblical manifestations. In other words, they're the kind of manifestations you want to see appearing all around us, often, regularly. So biblical manifestation. Number one, there's a conviction of sin. And John chapter 16, verse 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, judgment, and righteousness. And a church that is birthed in the Spirit and functioning in the Spirit has a conviction of this, that they find themselves often confessing sin, just saying, Lord, I didn't have a very good attitude. I need to change that. Lord, I didn't do that very well. I think Lord, ask you to somehow touch my heart. I'm sorry. So what we winked at, we now find exceedingly sinful. Right? Where at one time we kind of wink, 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 it's no big deal. And it is. And I stand in guilty as charged that times at one time I would have thought that was really wicked. And now not so wicked because I've been at times seduced by the spirit of the age. Right? And so that's, we have to be, now you can't, in some ways you can't leave everything because you know where to go. Even Paul said, he says this, like, if you leave any more things, you'll be out of the world. You won't even be functioning. So, but there's a confessing and a putting away of sin. That's a blessed thing in a church. That's a spirit-touched church where they are confessing and putting away of sin as the Lord makes it revealing to them, revealed to them. And so it's like a Holy Spirit searchlight on our hearts. And that's what we pray. Say, oh, Lord, I want to be on fire, but I want the light of God. Is there anything, as I stand here this morning, dear Jesus, is there anything in my heart that ought not to be there? Well, I want to confess it. And not just because it's communion. I know some people, it's communion. Oh, I better get my heart right. Maybe you should have your heart right before you get here. It might be just a thought. But don't you want the same? I want the Lord to be able to shine his light and for you and I to say, Lord, I acknowledge that, and I thank you for cleansing me. Jesus is such a wonderful lover of our souls. You don't have to, it's a simple thing. Jesus, I have this in my life. Fine, there, done. You don't have to whip yourself. You don't have to beat yourself. Just come to the Lord. The one who heals, the one who saves us can also cleanse us. The one who saves us can also bring us into sanctification. That's his business, and he does a great job of it. So, Lord, let there be a Holy Spirit searchlight on all of our hearts so that we're not tolerating anything that we ought not to. We're just trying to be right before, yielded before you as much as we can. So that's number one. There's a conviction of sin. Not a legalistic beating of each other, you know, searching for sinners in the church, because it might be you, it might be me that's really involved here. But I know that we say, well, we've got to deal something with that sin here. I don't want you doing it, though. I'd rather have the Lord, and he will. And he will do a great job of it. So number one, conviction of sin. Number two, with that move of the Spirit, there is a revelation of Jesus. How high and lifted up. John 16, verse 14. He will glorify me. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. He will reveal himself. All kinds of glimpses of Jesus, where we say, there was Jesus working, and there was Jesus working, and there was Jesus working. So we get glimpses of the grace and the glory of our risen Lord. His cross, so much so. His cross becomes more precious. His resurrection seems more precious. His mediation seems more real. His coming again, a vital truth. It wasn't maybe before, it was ho-hum, whatever. But now, the Lord is coming, and I proclaim it, even if I don't know when. I proclaim it. A holiness, a desire. It can't just be a giggle. It can't just be a flop on the ground. Or how high I can jump. I remember G.S. McLean used to always say this. It's not how high you jump. It's how you walk when you come down. That's so crucial. If I'm going to walk right before the Lord, then I need to make sure that all is well. So there's a revelation of Jesus. Everything about him becomes more wonderful. You know why we were enthusiastically praising this morning? Because Jesus was being revealed to us. Yes, that's true about you. And you find yourself excited, and then we sing songs, it's all about Jesus. Because it is. And he will reveal himself to every move of God. Whatever's happening in my life, if Jesus isn't more real to me, there's something missing in it. You worry about that, and I'll worry about that if that be the case. Number two. Number three, there comes with it an understanding of truth. John 14, 24, again, he says, if anybody... This is actually quite powerful. Listen to this. If anyone loves me, well, I want to be in that. You want to be in that. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Yikes. If anybody loves me, he will keep my word. That's a simple thing, isn't it? I could say, well, this is, no. If I say I love Jesus... If I say that, then I must keep his word. And if there's a disagreement with that, say, no, if you're going to follow him, if If anybody loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Jesus, what a promise, right? He's going to come. He said, because you keep my word, I'm coming to live inside of you. I want to live inside of you. And we'll come to you, and we'll make our home with you. How's that? I said, yes, you must be willing to obey me. You must follow me. We are disciples of the resurrected one. Are we not? Are we not his disciples? So then, if anybody loves him, we say, Lord, we love you. Then if so, keep my word. Well, I think that means if you're certain things. No, don't touch it. Just read it and hug it. And say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to keep your word as much as I know how. And to repent quickly and often if I'm struggling in some particular area. See, my inner man, imagine that, your inner man, your inner person, gripped by truth. How powerful is that? At one time, maybe it was only head knowledge. And now, at this and theories. Boy, you want to avoid somebody with theories, Christian theories. Yikes, that's a difficult thing. Realizing that they're arguing over doctrine, but there's no life in their doctrine. They've got it figured out, and they're smarter than me. I'll make that confession. I meet them all the time, and we get talking, and they got this, and they've got that there, and they've worked that out, and so-and-so says this, and you just say, boy, that person is lost in a sea of words. Lost in a sea of words with doctrines and beliefs and everything else that goes along with it, but it's not truth made alive. It's just what they know. And we're intimidated by that person because they really know the word. Listen, it's not your IQ that's so important. It's your OQ, your obedience quotient. It's not how much I know that I could snow you under the table with what I know, or you can snow me under the table. Showed me all your doctrinal truth and how you figured this out and how explanation of Calvinism and explanation of this and you have it all correct and we can't, nobody, none of us can argue with it because you obviously, he really knows his Bible. You hear that? I used to be impressed with that until I got to know the person. Yeah, it's just, yeah, they knew their Bible, but there was no life to it. It was there out of their head, out of theories. And so when the Spirit of God works in our heart, we find ourselves repenting of attitudes like that, of superiority, thinking that I know more than this or that person. When, Lord, all I want to know is it you or who you are, Lord, that's enough. But at one time, theories. Now, facts, the Word of God. Definite direction by the Spirit. That comes with it, too. Thy Word, a lamp unto my feet. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it directs me and points me in the right way so that I can walk in truth. Because that is the thing. People can get off. I've over the years, that's the value of longevity. Boy, you do get to see it coming through again. It comes through with a different color, but it comes through. And people get into things. Say, what's so-and-so? What's he into? Have you heard that? What's he into? He's into something. He's into this doctrinal thing, or he's into this, or they're into that. And I thought, oh, man, I wouldn't want to get there. You know, you come to the end of your life, and you were into 100 things, and none of it was real. It was just what you got into. But if it brings you to the cross, if it brings me to the cross, now we're talking. That's the truth. There is a place for doctrine. Absolutely, there's a place for doctrine. I would worry, well, we have the fire, but we have no doctrine. No, we want doctrine, but we want it to put that it touches us and changes us and makes a difference within our hearts. That's where we need to go with that. Now, number 4, a baptism, an outpouring of love. Now, I don't want to step on anybody's toes with this, but let me read Romans 5 and 5. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. God's love has been poured into our hearts. Now, I happen, and I don't say this to make anybody else feel anything different or awkward, I pray in tongues pretty well every day. No, please forgive me, Lord, for I sound like I'm bragging here. Not at all, not trying at all. I know that in our circles, it's the evidence of the baptism of the Spirit in our circles. But I don't think it actually is, even though I experience it every day. I believe love is. I believe love is. And now over the years go on, pretty convinced of it. That's the greatest testimony that I am Spirit-filled. Not that I speak in tongues, but may I speak in tongues, right? May I prophesy? May I be open to the things? But it's not the final argument. The argument is the baptism of the Spirit in reality is a baptism of love. It fills me and overflows from me. Yeah, we thought that we loved one another, and perhaps we did. But then when God reveals His Holy Spirit standard, when we say, Lord, I am full of love. I'm a child of God. I know Jesus. I have love in my heart. And we say, yeah, that's good. Until you realize that His standard, He says, well, let me put my standard beside your standard. You think that you're full of love. Well, let me show you my standard. And when He does that, He says, Father, that they may be one. That's what He wants. That they may be one. And we're just so stunned. We bow in shame. We can hardly believe it. That we would, that same passage, that we would love Jesus as much as the Father does, but we would love each other. The same amount of love. And I don't know what to do with that, right? Because it stuns you and you say, oh my goodness, if that's the standard, it is the standard that you would love one another. John 13. You'd love one another. So we come to the Lord in brokenness, confession, and hopefully new love among the church members. Love is the evidence. I must love you. Because Jesus says that's how that they may be one. And if we're parting, if our allegiances are drifting in any way, we have to come before the Lord and before an individual say, listen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just sorry about that. I want this place. And so from my heart as a senior pastor, I want love to be the evidence. Not that you have a good, I mean, I hope you have a good time speaking in tongues too, but it's really just saying, Jesus, where I am so deficient in my love, make me a lover. That I can honestly say I love everybody. I may not like everything they do, right? They may not like everything. You may not like everything they do. But to say, I don't have anything against anybody. I just don't have anything. So, well, that's too convicting. Let's move on. But anyway, he says, God's love has been poured out unto us by the Holy Spirit. So we know we're on the right sound track of that thing. So lastly, anointing of power, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. Yes, amen. Makes a difference. Makes you effervescent. Makes you, we could pray for the sick, pray for people who are demonized, people who are in bondage. We are filled with all the fullness of God. That's one of the symbols, is that there's a boldness that comes over us that we didn't say, wow. You know, for example, have you ever prayed for the very first time? Have you ever led someone to the Lord? That is one heady experience. I did. You know where I was? I was at a David Wilkerson crusade in Winnipeg. And I was living in Winnipeg, and they were, I think I took the training, but I can't remember so much about that. Remember David Wilkerson? Remember the cross and switchblade? That's who was there. He was the key one. And then, of course, the Puerto Rican guy that, who else was with him there from the streets? Now, all you 60s people, you know what I'm talking about. Nicky Cruz. Thank you, Nicky Cruz. So he was there. And there we were. And I was thinking, well, they're going to have lots of workers, so I don't have to worry too much about what's going to happen here, because there was like scores and scores and scores of counselors. And of course, as the people came forward, they're throwing their cigarettes, they're throwing their drugs, they're throwing everything down. There's literally a huge big pile on the stadium, on the floor, that people had come forward and felt they should deal with because they were giving their hearts to Christ. And so I was safe and sound in my little spot watching the activity, and they said, excuse me, are you one of the counselors? No, I don't think so. Well, you got a tag on. Oh, so come with me. So now he's taking me by the hand, and he's walking me down to the front. I thought I was going to be exempt. That was the first time I'd ever prayed for somebody like that they needed a prayer. I said grace, I've said a few other things, but I'd never said that. So there I said, well, this man has given his heart to Christ. You know, I thought my heart was going to come right out of my rib cage. I was so scared. I was so petrified. Because now I have to come up with something, right? I can't sit in the bleachers. I've got to come up with something. They're expecting me to know something. I knew about two things, right? So I said, hi, my name is Owen. What's your name? So at least I can get that part, right? And I said, why have you come? And I led him to the Lord. Man, I went boom, right out of the stratosphere. I went home that night. I could hardly believe that somebody passed from death unto life. And it gave me a boldness to say, maybe that could happen again sometime. Right? But you see, what I'm saying is, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So, Lord, let your power be on me now as I lead that person to the Lord. And after that, of course, it was that I remember even in a church service. Now, if you haven't prayed in a church service, it's quite nerve-wracking. It is. And so we'd like to go, oh, we're good to have someone. Nice to have you with us. Would you lead us in prayer? And clunk. So I memorized a prayer. It was a safety prayer. So when the Reverend Ed Bradley, when he asked me to pray, that's who it was. I heard how they pray. So I whipped out my little card. Lord, we thank you for the service we've had together. And there again, there was a greater walk with the Lord and anointing, just doing little things like that. But not by might, not by power, but by thy Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We can expect that. We can expect people. You know, if we pray for people, I don't know why everybody doesn't get healed, and neither do you. Neither do you. We just don't know. When somebody, how come so? I don't know. But I do know that the Lord honors it when we lay hands on people. We pray for sick people or discouraged people or heartbroken people. And so that's where this is really practical. It's not just a theory. It's practical. And my time is gone. Well, stand with me, just you've been sitting very patiently. Isn't it the best thing in the world to know Christ? Is that not the best thing? He's the best. And I thank him for his love shed abroad in my heart. I'm grateful. I'm very grateful. And I know you are too. I sensed it in your heart here tonight. So what I thought we should do, why don't we just present ourselves to the Lord? Normally, we'll just take about 2 minutes, but about maybe two or three, just prayers from our heart saying, Lord, use us. Again, not by our own strength, but by your power. Maybe just one or two people could express on our behalf, would you express us before the Lord? Yeah, thank you, brother. Thank you. Somebody else?
Lord, help us to truly accept how much you love us so that we can give that to others.
Yes. Amen. A couple more. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Marcel, why don't you come up and give the benediction here. You know, there used to be a song. Boy, I'm obsessed with the 60s today, aren't I? For whatever reason. There used to be a song that we sang. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And I'm going to be singing Kumbaya here before I... But it does. That's true. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And I'd like to be that spark, and I sense you want to be that spark. So pray that over us, Marcel, that... we'll just together as a body just embrace all that he has for us. Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we just come to you today again. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you have done in our lives.
Yes.
Lord Jesus,
yes.
You saw us where we were at. You saw our plight. God, you rescued us. And not only did you take us out, Lord, and rescue us, God, you've got a plan and you've got a purpose to use us, Father.
Yeah, good.
And God, we get to be a part of an eternal thing that you are doing, God. There is no greater invitation than pulling us out and getting to be a part of what you have, Lord Jesus. And so, God, we just come before you and we say, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you for such a great invitation as that. And Lord, I pray for this church. God, I pray for us, Lord, that we would accept that invitation to walk hand in hand, walk partner, walk and stay in step with the Spirit and what you're doing, God. Lord Jesus, you have things for us to do this week. You have callings. You have stuff you want us to accomplish, God, this week. And we want to stay in step with what you're doing this week, Lord Jesus. And so, Father, I pray, God, that the cry of our heart, Lord, as a church would be yes. Yes to you, God. Yes to what you want to do. Yes to surrendering to your way, Lord, and not our way, Father. And so, God, I pray that as we leave here today, that we'll just walk in your anointing. God, we'll walk in expectation of what you have for us this week. And, Lord, at the end of the week, as we look back, we'll say, wow, Jesus, you blew us away. God, as we stepped in with you and your Spirit, God, you did amazing things, things we could not even comprehend, Lord Jesus. And so, God, I pray we would just step out in boldness, and our answer this week would be one of yes, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name we pray.
And everybody said yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Marcel. We want to invite you for coffee on the patio. Come if you can. It's always so good. And to our guests who are here especially, make sure you come so we can meet you and have some coffee with you.